Chapter 14 today, John chapter 14. We're just proceeding through this message that I began last Sunday morning. If you're keeping notes with me, I'm preaching on John chapter 14, verse 16 through verse 31. John chapter 14, verse 16 through verse 31. This is part two to the message that I began last Sunday morning. If you want to go back and get that, you can help yourself. If you'd like to have my own notes, you just let me know. I'll be happy to give them to you and all of that, okay? John chapter 14, verses 16 to 31. I'm just going to read verse 22 and verse 23 to get my title, and we'll proceed. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Notice in verse number 22, the name Lord. And then notice in verse number 23, the name Jesus. I have those circled in my Bible with a line connecting them. And I'm preaching to you part two to the message that I've entitled, The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this service. And I pray that you'll fill us with your power and your spirit. I pray as I stand to preach that my heart is clean. May there be nothing hindering you at all. And I pray that Holy Spirit of God, that you will be the preacher today. And may this message not be my message, but your message. And may, Lord, you comfort our hearts, convict us where we need to be convicted, change and challenge us, I pray. We love you today. Thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to these verses, we're reminded in the context of how the Lord has been sharing truths with his disciples in order to comfort their troubled hearts at this time. Because keep in mind, just in the immediate context here, he has recently told them that he was getting ready to leave them for a while. And no doubt when they heard this from his holy lips that he's getting ready to leave and go to a place where they could not follow him at that time, no doubt this was troubling news to these men. And in order to comfort their troubled hearts, the Lord shared several truths with them. These truths included, and I've already preached on this, but these truths included the place that he was going to prepare for them, the promise that he was going to come back to receive them, and the provision he had made to make all of this possible. He went on in this chapter. I'm just working up to verse 16, so stay with me. He went on to share with these men to simply believe him. Believe me, he said, that he is one with the Father, that they would do greater works than he did, and that he would simply be a prayer away, even when they could not see him like they were looking at him that day. Now, before we get to the meat of this message, let me ask you a question. Is your heart troubled today? Is there something going on in your life that has your heart agitated, troubled, not at peace? If so, you are not alone. Life has its way of throwing things at every person that can trouble us and get us concerned. Now, it's during these times that the Lord is wonderful to use his word and the truths contained therein to comfort us. So I want to challenge you, if your heart is troubled, to go to God. Take the word of God and ask him to speak to your troubled heart. And in the passage before us now, the Lord is still dealing with these men's troubled hearts. He's still sharing truths with them that could encourage them during this time of the Lord's departure from them. Now, in these verses before us, verses 16 to verse 31, the Lord Jesus is on center stage. And notice how he's called Lord in verse 22. And the name Lord here means master, it means controller, it means supreme in authority, it means God. And may I say this, this is truly who Jesus is. He is the Lord. He is the master. He is the controller. He is the supreme in authority. He is God. And there are several things about him in these verses that can encourage our hearts and challenge us to be more like Him. I began this last week. I gave you four things, I think, last week. I'm going to go ahead and give you the final thing today, but I'm still not going to get past major thought one, okay? So number one, this is what I began last week. The Lord Jesus, first of all, we notice His promises. This is found in verses 16 down through verse number 27. Let me tap on the head what I've already preached on. Last week I showed you several of these promises in these verses. In verses 16 through 18 and then in verse number 26, He gave the promise that He would pray the Father that He would send another comforter. By the way, I've already preached on it. Go back and get it. Aren't you glad for the other comforter today? Secondly, He gave the promise in the latter part of verse 18 that He would come to them. Thirdly, He gave them the promise, as we plow through this together in verse 19, that because He lives, they will live also. Then in verses 21 to 25, He gave them the promise that He will love, manifest Himself to, and abide with those who truly love Him. Now that's what I preached on last week. I encourage, if you were not here, to go back and get it. I pick up our study with major promise number five. This is letter E if you're following me. Not going to get any further than this today. And I thought this was very appropriate for the Woodards, for myself. I'm getting ready to fly to India. Brother Eugene and Brother Bob, God willing, we'll be leaving this afternoon, right after church, so to speak, give or take. I got to get some of Mama's cooking first, but anyway, all of that. And we'll be leaving, flying out of Charlotte tonight at 6:30, God willing. We appreciate your prayers. Pray for all of that. I need this today that I'm getting ready to share with you. My wife needs this today that I'm getting ready to share with you. You need this today what I'm getting ready to share with you. Because what a promise. What a promise He gives in verse number 27. Let's read it together, and this is as far as we'll get today. Here's what He said. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What a powerful verse. Can I get an amen there, please? What a powerful verse. Just preaching through the book of the Bible, not having anything planned, Mr. Kaiser taught me back in Bible college. He's with the Lord. He said, young men, if you'll just preach through books of the Bible, you'll be amazed at how God has you right where you need to be. I've seen that time and time and time again. What a promise this truly was and still is from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's getting ready to be delivered into the hands of evil sinners, remember? The next day, after He preaches this, after He says this, the next day He's going to be crucified on Calvary. He's getting ready to leave them behind for a while. And because of His death and this burial and His resurrection, He was able to give them this promise that my peace I give unto you and my peace I leave with you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. He goes on to say, not as the world gives, give I unto you. May I say this to you? There's two major thoughts I'm getting to. Just bear with me, okay? The world has its imitation peace. It comes in different ways. Find peace in money. Find peace in family. Find peace in job. Find peace in this. But God says here, the Lord Jesus says, the peace I give, it's not like the world's. May I say this to you? The world's so-called peace is fake. It may mimic peace for a while, but it's not lasting peace. And what I'm saying to you is that the peace that the Lord promises is the peace that He said is His peace. Notice He says, I give you my peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Are you listening to me? I want the Lord Jesus peace, don't you? I want the peace that comes from the Lord. By the way, this salutation, peace I leave with you, that was a common Jewish salutation or farewell. But every other time somebody said this to these men, it was mere human beings who spoke, saying, peace be with you, my friend. Peace be with you, my friend. But on this day, the author of peace promised them peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. This was no empty statement coming from the Lord Jesus. This was a divine promise. Because He is peace, He could make this promise to His disciples. Ephesians 2, 14 to 17 says this, "For He, Jesus, is our peace." He is our peace. Peace is not something. Peace is someone. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. "And hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh." Isaiah 9:6, a prophecy of the birth of the Christ child. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." The word peace here means, I give you my quietness. I give you my rest. That's what it means. You know what this world is looking for today? Quietness. Rest. Peace. And this promise is given by the Lord Jesus to mankind who are saved because He is the author of peace. Now, because of the Lord Jesus today, peace is available. And my message to you is there are two types of peace available through the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the message. This is letter E now. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Number one under this. What kind of peace is it? This is the message. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't you think that these disciples needed to hear that promise? By the way, they needed to hear this promise before the reality of it set in. Because in less than 24 hours, every one of them is going to desert Him, fleeing for their own life. Even Peter's going to deny the Lord three times because he doesn't want to die, so to speak. Not at that moment, anyway. See, the Lord has a way of preparing you not for what you need now, but for what you're going to need in the future. And may I say to you that this peace that He's promising to these men and that He promises to the world because of His sacrifice on Calvary is a twofold peace. Number one, it's peace with God. With God. The key word is with God. This is what salvation is all about. See, the Word of God teaches that when we were born into this world, we were born sinners in need of peace with God. Get this, the Word of God teaches that God is angry with the wicked every day. That's Psalm 7, verse 11. By the way, if God's angry with you, we've got problems. The Bible says the wicked, those who are not saved, those who are not His children, God is angry with the wicked every day. But because the Lord Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect, sinless life, I'm starting to get blessed right there. And He went to the cross of Calvary to bleed and die. He could look at those dear men in that room and give them a promise. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. I'm telling you that we who are born under the wrath of God can have God's wrath removed and be at peace with God because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the peace He gives. If you've never been saved, you're at enmity with God. Somebody who's lost is an enemy of God, and God is undefeated. And no man will ever defeat God Almighty. The only answer to mankind is for the Lord Jesus to give His peace to man. And He gives His peace with God to men who realize that they need to be saved and delivered from the wrath of God. At the close of the war between the states, the Civil War many years ago, we're told that a troop of federal cavalry were riding along a road between Richmond and Washington. Suddenly they saw a poor wretch, I'm reading directly here, clothed in ragged remnants of a Confederate uniform, come out of the bush. He hailed the captain, who drew rein, you see, and waited for the captain. He gasped out and said, and I quote, "I'm starving to death. Can you help me? Can you give me some food?" The captain said, "Starving to death? Can't you go? Why don't you go into Richmond and get what you need there?" This man said, "I dare not, for if I did go to Richmond to get what I need there, I would be arrested, because 3 weeks ago I became utterly disheartened and I deserted from the Confederate Army, and I've been hiding in the woods ever since, waiting for an opportunity to get through the lines to the north, for I knew if I were arrested I would be shot for deserting in time of war." The captain looked at him in amazement and said, "Haven't you heard the news?" "What news?" the man said. He said, "Why, the war's over. Peace has been made. General Lee surrendered to General Grant at Appomattox 2 weeks ago. The Confederacy's ended." "What?" the man said. "Peace has been made for 2 weeks, and I've been starving in the woods because I didn't know." And this man who tells this story says, "Oh, that was the gospel of peace to him." And he says, "Sinner, listen to me. Peace was made 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago, peace with God was nailed on the cross, and He died so we can be at peace with God." And this is the peace that's available. Harry Ironside goes on to tell, he's the one who told the story, said millions today are dying in their sins because they don't know it. Oh, that's why we make mission trips. That's why we fly across to the other end of the world. So I can get up and these men can get up and say, "Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. And He died so you can be at peace with God." Nothing like it when those people start getting up out of their seats and they start coming down because they want somebody to tell them about this God who loves them so much. That's why we fly across the seas, to tell them that Jesus Christ's promise of peace is still alive and well today. Peace with God. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Two soldiers were in the same company in World War I. One came from a rich family and the other was a very poor man and lived on a farm with his widowed mother. Despite the differences in their circumstances, they became inseparable friends, the rich boy and the poor boy that just had a mom. But one day while they were overseas, the poor boy received a letter telling that his mother died. He was left alone in the world. The rich boy, the friend, tried to console him, and they became closer friends than ever. And one night in France, the rich boy was seriously wounded and left lying on the battlefield. The poor boy crawled out to him, took his friend in his arms. And the rich boy said, and I quote, "I want you to take this blood-stained shirt off my back. And if you live through the war, I want you to go home to my home and take my shirt with you with my blood on it. It has my name on it. I want you to tell my daddy that my dying request, glory, I'm getting blessed, is that he should adopt you and make you an heir to all of his wealth." The rich boy died in the arms of his friend that day. And when the war was over, the poor boy fearfully approached the wealthy man's home, not sure what kind of a reception he'd get, you see. The butler would not permit him to enter until the poor boy told him that he had a message for the father from his son. He was then ushered into the presence of the father, and he told the stricken father about his boy's death, and he gave him the blood-stained shirt and told him of his dying boy's request. The rich man embraced the poor boy, and they wept together, and the poor boy became the son of the rich man. And oh, you and I are born poor sinners. But out yonder on the battlefield of Calvary, Christ died for our sin. He who was rich became poor so that we who are poor might become rich. There is peace with God available through the Lord Jesus. But if you reject Christ, the Word of God has a saying for you. Isaiah 57:20-21. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Here's what God says. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. What kind of peace is it? Number one, it's peace with God. That's salvation. But number two, if you're saved today, it's the peace of God that helps us down through this life. See, the peace with God, that's for sinners in need of being converted and having God become their Father and at peace with them. But we who are saved, we need peace, don't we? Yes. Do you need peace today? I'm talking about the peace of God. The quietness and rest that He can speak and give to your heart when your world's turned upside down. While we need to rejoice in the peace with God, let us all who are God's children rejoice in the peace of God that we have through the Lord Jesus. There is the peace that is a quietness and rest even in times of turmoil and trouble. One man said, it's the peace which says, I don't understand everything, but I will just rest in God and He will bring me out all right. It's the peace which says, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. It's the peace which said, if God be for us, who can be against us? It's the peace which said, I will trust the Lord and not fear what man shall do unto me. It's the peace which said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. It's the peace which says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It's the peace which says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Philippians 4:6-7 says, be careful for nothing but in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ for the peace that He's made available with God on Calvary. Amen. But thank the Lord Jesus Christ for the peace that He gives when life throws a curveball. I'm telling you, there's nothing like the peace of God. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. The rest. The quietness. That when you don't know what's beyond that corner, you don't know what you're going to find when you walk through that door, God can give you rest and quietness and trust, peace. Can I give you some illustrations to illustrate what I'm talking about? In 1555, kind of hard for us to think that far back, right? By the way, I wasn't there to confirm this, but anyway, I trust the source. In 1555, this is found in Fox's Book of Martyrs, Dr. Nicholas Ridley was sentenced to be burned at the stake in England because of his witness for Christ. On the night before his execution, his brother offered to remain with him in the prison, to be of assistance and to be of comfort. But Nicholas Ridley declined the offer and said, and I quote, "I intend, God willing, to go to bed and sleep as quietly tonight as I ever did." Because he knew the peace of God, he could rest in the strength of the everlasting arms of his Lord to meet his need. He wouldn't even let somebody come in and try to comfort him because he had God's peace. Most of us will never face a trial of faith like that. Yet all of us go through difficult times. And during those difficult times, we have the opportunity to fix our minds on God and receive the peace of God through it. Illustration number two. Just trying to show you a little bit of what this peace can do. During the French War, a train carrying dispatches to the headquarters was compelled to go over 60 miles of very rough road and reach its destination within an hour. Had to get there in an hour, but it's rough terrain. The engineer of the train was the bearer of the dispatches, and his wife and child were on board the train. He's the driver, you see, and his family's on board. Every moment threatened to pitch the train over the embankment or over the bridge or over a bridge. And as it rolled from side to side, actually leaping at times almost in the air, the train leaping in the air, rushing past stations, the few people inside held their breath, wouldn't you? I mean, trains are not supposed to lose contact with the track, friends, okay? And they were crying out for terror as this train just kept speeding along. But there was one on that train who knew nothing of their fears, and that was the engineer's child. Now listen, let this speak to your heart. Happy as a bird, she laughed out loud when they asked her if she wasn't afraid. She said, "Are you not afraid?" She's laughing. And she said, and I quote, "Why, my father is at the engine. My daddy's driving this thing." A little later, the engineer came into the car to cheer up his wife as he wiped the great drops of sweat from his face. But his child leaped up into his arms and laid her head upon his bosom, as happy and as peaceful as when she was at home. What's the point here? Your train, every now and then, may have to make it somewhere in an hour, and it's rough road, and it loses contact, it's beating the daylights out of you. And you wonder sometimes, is it going to make it? Can I give you a word of encouragement? God's not our co-pilot. Throw that away. God is our pilot. He's driving the train, and we can trust Him. You know what will give you that? The peace of God. Can I give you one more story? I've shared this before, but I just thought it'd be so appropriate here. One of the best loved hymns of the faith is "It Is Well With My Soul." It was written by a man by the name of Horatio Spafford. Mr. Spafford, he was a wealthy businessman in Chicago, and he lost much of his real estate holdings in the great Chicago fire. After the fire, he sent his wife and four daughters on a ship to Europe, intending to join them later for a time of rest, as well as he was going to go over to assist D.L. Moody and Sankey with a revival in Great Britain. So he sent his wife and his four daughters on ahead of him. But that voyage was struck with disaster. And Spafford received a cable from his wife with the painful message, two words: "Saved, alone." He received that from his wife, thus realizing that his wife survived, but his four daughters did not. Spafford quickly made arrangements to join his wife. And as they came to the spot where his daughters had drowned, apparently they told him that right in this area, Mr. Spafford, is where the ship was struck and it went down, and the bodies of your little girls went down right in this area here. The story says that Spafford marked that sad event with these words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll." Could you imagine him penning that? "Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." The peace that God promised to these disciples is what this world needs. And it's what every sinner needs with God. But it's also what every Christian needs in life. We need the peace of God. I don't have a great voice. My wife requested I sing this, and it's appropriate. She knew what I was preaching on this morning. She requested me to sing this, and I said, "I've already got it in my notes to do so. I'm a step ahead of you, sweetheart. Don't listen to the voice, but listen to the words." This is one of my favorite songs. I think you probably know what it is, don't you? I'll just sing some of this. See how the Lord leads. "Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial-like strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul, so secure that no power can mine it away. While the years of eternity roll, I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control. For I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and His glory is flooding my soul." I'll use this as my last. "And methinks, when I rise to that author, to that city of peace, where the author of peace I shall see, that one strain of the song which the ransomed will sing in that heavenly kingdom shall be." Sing it with me. Do you know it? "Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love." Can I just say this? What a promise that the Lord Jesus gave to His disciples. Let me read it one more time. I'm closing. Keep in mind, they're getting ready to lose Him for a while. Not forever. Just a little while. And He says, "Peace I leave with you." Glory, that's a blessing. "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you today. And I pray that this peace will have free reign. Thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Unless it's a dire emergency, I'd like to ask you to stay here with us. Do you need peace today? There's two kinds. Peace with God, that's for sinners. That's never been saved. The peace of God for Christians going through times of trouble. Let me say this to you. Everybody needs his peace. Everybody does. And as they began to play through softly, I want to start with the first one and I'll work my way to the second. Do you have peace with God? Is God at peace with you? Or is he angry with you? Has there been a time in your life when you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? Are you born again? If you know without a doubt that you're saved, you're born again, you're going to heaven, you are at peace with God, if you know that's the case, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. Thank you. By the way, isn't it good to be able to raise your hand to that? You can put your hand down. Thank you. Is there one today say, Jody, I need peace with God. I'm a sinner. I've never been saved. I've never trusted Jesus Christ and Christ alone to save me, change my life. And God is speaking to my heart. I need to be saved. I want to have that peace with God. I don't have it, but I want it. I really want it. And today say, Jody, that's me. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you need peace with God today, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? You say, pray for me. I need peace with God. I need peace with God. I need peace with God. You know, I really sense the Holy Spirit of God laying on my heart to preach this on the mission field where I'm going. This part with the peace with God. That's what those dear folks are searching for, you know it? I think God will use that if he leads me in that way. How many today say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm already at peace with God, but boy, I need the peace of God. Something in my life, I need his peace. I really do. I need that quietness that you're talking about. I need that rest that you're talking about. And would you pray that I will claim it and lean upon him? Have you say, Jody, that's me. I need the peace of God. I'm a Christian, but I need his peace today. Be honest. Raise your hand in the air with mine. Would you do that? Yes. Boy, that's a lot of you. That's a lot of you. God bless you. You can put your hand down. I'm going to ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. I'm not going to stand today, but if you want to come and ask God to give you the peace of God that you need as he sings, would you come now? Do it now. Would you do it? Come on. Come talk to God about it. Come talk to God about it. It's his peace. He is peace. He's the only one who can give you peace. So go to him. Trust him. Take your hands off of him. Give it to God. For my soul like an infinite call. If you're seated and you're not praying, sing it with us, would you?
Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever.
Playing through softly. I'm going to have Brother Gary sing one more verse. If you're seated, you can look this way. If you did fill out one of those Get Connected cards, please turn them into the ushers on your way out. And as Brother Bob and myself and Brother Eugene go to the mission field, We covet your prayers. Pray for safety. Pray for the Holy Spirit of God to be the preacher. We're looking forward to getting back and giving a glaring report. May God touch it. And may I say this to you, I love you. My wife and I love you very deeply. And we thank God for the privilege of being the pastor and pastor's wife of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Stay the course. Go forward. Don't ever quit on God. Let's sing one more verse. If nobody else comes, this will be it. And I'm going to ask you to call on somebody to pray. Okay? God bless you.
I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace. Resting sweetly in Jesus' control. For I'm kept from all danger by night and by day. And His glory is flooding. Let's all stand and sing that chorus together. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father.
Bless you. Behave yourselves, okay, while I'm gone.